Please turn your Bible to Psalm 18. And verse 7, the psalm that we had just read, but I just want to draw your attention to verse 7. The topic for this morning is earthquakes, God's announcement of judgment. And here in Psalm 18, verse 7, we read, "Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth." God was wroth. Very angry. Very angry with the world. This world that we live in is a sin-cursed world, full of evil, full of wickedness. And God, who is holy, must judge this world. And just about 9 days ago, on the 27th of February, and we are reading a whole lot of these natural phenomena that happened on this earth that has caused great destruction and great damage. And on the 27th of February, you have read how an earthquake, 8.8 magnitude earthquake, hit Chile, causing massive destruction. And one NASA scientist even said that the earthquake was so great that it has caused the Earth's axis to be tilted. So our days now are shorter. That's not the only earthquake. You're hearing and seeing more and more earthquakes. Not that there are not many earthquakes in the past, there are also many and frequent earthquakes, but we are seeing something that is happening today that should really cause us to wake up, because many more earthquakes today are happening in highly populated areas, in cities or close to cities, and many lives have been lost. And God is really making a statement. This decade alone, there's so many of these very, very destructive earthquakes. The most infamous one, you know, was the 2004 earthquake on the 26th of December, 2004. An earthquake in Sumatra, 9.1 magnitude earthquake, which generated a tsunami that killed no less than 250,000 lives. And then the next year, 8th of October 2005, we have an earthquake in Kashmir, Pakistan, 7.6 magnitude, taking 80,000 lives. And then on the 12th of May 2008, we have in China, in Sichuan, 8.0 magnitude earthquake, taking 70,000 lives. And then 12 January, just this year, in Haiti, 7.0 earthquake, 200,000 lives were lost, hitting the very capital city of Haiti itself and flattening that city. And then you have this one in Chile, just about a week ago. Why are all these things happening? Have you asked that question when you read the papers? Have you asked that question, why are these things happening? Do the earthquakes occur? Do they happen by chance? Is it by accident? I'm glad the choir sang just now, God is on the throne and He is in control. And all these things happen not by chance or by accident, but God had sent them. They had been ordained of God. God is making a statement. God is making an announcement. He wants the world to wake up and to know that the world is not well. It is not healthy. In fact, it is very sick. It is diseased. God is not happy with this world because of this world's rebellion against Him. The world is not getting better and better. We know that. It's getting from bad to worse. Morally speaking, there's so much hatred for the truth. so much hatred for God. And God in His wrath is making a statement. One day every one of us will stand before God. And we must make an account. Give Him an account of our lives. We better make sure that God is not our enemy but our friend. Not our judge but our Heavenly Father above. You don't want God to be your judge. You want God to be your Father. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to get right with God. You want to make peace with God, or else judgment is going to come. And the earthquakes that we are seeing today is God's announcement. He wants to wake us up. Know that I'm angry. Know that judgment is coming. Are we ready or not? Are we ready or not? God tells us how He feels by all these events. And in the Bible, not just here in Psalm 18, verse 7, but also in Isaiah 29, verse 6, we read, "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire." God uses the forces of nature to announce to us how He feels about us, how He feels about the earth and the world, and how we must repent of our sins and get right with Him because He's angry. And then in Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, we read, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." So in the Bible we find that earthquakes are God's way of announcing His judgment. The world is being judged and there will be a final judgment that will come. Do we know this? Are we ready for this? Will we escape the judgment to come? If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will escape this judgment to come. And the earthquakes themselves tell us not only that God is announcing judgment, the earthquakes are God's judgment itself. These earthquakes that we see on earth today are only a glimpse, a foretaste of the final earthquake to come that will destroy the earth. God has used earthquakes in the past to judge and to punish those who sin and rebel against Him. And there are a number of cases in the scriptures. And maybe one case that I can bring up is the case of the sons of Korah. You remember this incident in the book of Numbers? Turn to the book of Numbers. Right? Let us refresh our memory. How God was very angry with the sons of Korah for their rebellion against Him. And look at what God did at that time. Numbers 16. In Numbers 16. And let me read to you verse 1 to verse 3. All right, the context of what happened. Numbers 16 verse 1 to 3. "Now Korah, the son of Izzar, the son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Over here we have the sons of Korah, namely and chiefly Dathan and Abiram. And now they have become very popular among the people. They have become famous in the congregation. And so now they have become very proud. And now they tell Moses and Aaron, "Who are you? Why should you be our leaders? We can easily take your place. We want to share this leadership with you." In fact, I believe their intention was to usurp the leadership of Moses and Aaron by the words that they say here. "We want to replace you. We don't need you. We can easily lead Israel. And now that we are very popular among the people, we have a good support, we want to take over. Who made you to be leaders over us?" But it should be very clear to them that Moses and Aaron did not take upon themselves this position of leadership, right? In and by themselves. They were divinely appointed by the Lord. The Lord made them to be deliverers of Israel and Aaron to be the high priest. And God was the one who called Moses specially from Mount Horeb through the burning bush, and how he was God's representative on earth. And so when they went against Moses and Aaron, they really were going against God, going against God's anointed. And they say, "Now we want to take the position on our own. We have the right. Who are you?" And by so doing, they were playing God. They were playing God. Only God had the right to appoint such people to such positions of authority. Now they want to take it upon themselves. They wanted to play God. And that's why God was very angry with these men. And what happened to them? What happened to these wicked and proud and rebellious men who spoke against Moses and Aaron, God's representatives in Israel, and then charged them and challenged them with false words, with malicious words? Well, look at verse 23. From verse 23 to 33, we see how God dealt with them. God judged them. God did not spare, because what they did was something very, very serious. By challenging the authority of Moses and Aaron, they challenged God. They wanted to play God, and God will not allow anyone to take over his glory, to take over his authority. You speak against God, God will judge you. Verse 23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand. So Moses said, Look, I did not appoint myself, I did not promote myself. It is God that hath appointed me. And God will show this to you. Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand. You have charged me wickedly and maliciously. And in so doing, you are trying to play God. Now God will deal with you. Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. And if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, and all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." God is going to judge, and he is going to judge in a supernatural, unusual, uncommon way. The ground will suddenly open up, will split open precisely where these men are, and they will fall into that pit, into their grave, and they will die for their sins. God is going to do that. And God did precisely that. Earthquakes are not only God's announcement of judgment, it is judgment, the judgment of God itself. So don't play God. How we must be very humble before God. How we must make sure we know what is God's will in our life and for our life. Then walk in His ways. Do His will meekly and humbly. Obey His words, and then we will be safe. Or else, we destroy ourselves by our own sins, by our own wickedness, to walk in places and to do things that God did not will for us to do or to walk in. So there was this earthquake that swallowed up Dathan and Abiram and all those, right, with them through an earthquake. But there's one earthquake, right, that was the mother of all earthquakes. You know which earthquake that happened was the greatest earthquake on the earth? Now, according to the geologists, and the greatest earthquake ever recorded occurred in 1960 in Chile. And it was a 9.5 magnitude earthquake, 9.5. That is the strongest, most powerful earthquake recorded on earth in 1960 in Chile. But actually the greatest earthquake, the most powerful, the most devastating, the earthquake of all earthquakes was one, the mother of all earthquakes actually, was the one that happened in the days of Genesis, the time of the Genesis flood. You know, in the days of the flood, when God destroyed the whole world by water, we only think that God rained, water on the earth from above. The waters of the in the sky in heaven was poured down on the earth, and the whole earth flooded. Do you not know that there were waters under the earth that gushed out also? Now you turn to Genesis chapter 7, and this was the first time earthquakes occurred, right, on the earth. The mother of all earthquakes, the earthquake of all earthquakes, Genesis chapter 7. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 and verse 12. And here we read, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, and the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So you find the waters above, all right? You have the windows of heaven opened up. There was a water canopy that enveloped the earth at that time, that watered the earth, that gave moisture. There was no rain before that time. But when God, at this point, wanted to judge the earth, He broke this water canopy above the earth so that the waters from above the earth poured down, rain upon the earth, to flood the earth. And not only that, we read also here, the fountains of the great deep, the fountains, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and so waters from under the earth gushed out and overwhelmed the earth, and there was a great global deluge, a global flood that destroyed all life on this earth. So take note. And because of this, the earth's surface changed once and for all. The earth's surface, the face of the earth, and the surface of the earth that we have today was not like the face of the earth or the surface of the earth before the flood. When the flood came and the earth was broken up, we find that the face of the earth changed. It appeared all the different continents, the coastlines and the shorelines of the earth that we see, and all the nations today, and all the continents, and now we have very, very high mountains, and now we have very, very deep valleys, even deep trenches under the sea. And now we have volcanoes, right? Now we have geysers and hot springs and all these things that we see on the earth today. Volcanic eruptions, a ring of fire, and all this. All due to what? All arose from when? From this time. In the days of the Genesis flood, when all the fountains of the deep were broken up, the earth's surface was broken up. And that was definitely a global earthquake here. Earthquake of all earthquakes. Mother of all earthquakes. And it all happened right here in Genesis chapter 7. And this is really to remind us, why are we, you know, faced with earthquakes today? The earth is in pain. The earth is groaning because of the weight of sin. And this only, and the earthquakes that we see today reminds us of the great earthquake, right, in Genesis, and it points to a future earthquake, a final earthquake that will destroy the cities of this earth. God is pointing to the judgment to come. Not only are earthquakes the announcement of God's judgment, not only do earthquakes tell us that God is judging the earth right now, the earthquakes that we see also tell us that there will be a judgment to come. Okay? And we read of this in Revelation chapter 16, verse 18. And the earthquake, the final earthquake to come, will be even more powerful, right, than what we have seen in the book of Genesis. You read Revelation 16, verse 18, and here we are told, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, says here, a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And that will happen on the last day. When Jesus comes back, this will happen. And I just want to share with you what our late founding pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh, had written in his commentary on the book of Revelation, Coming World Events Unveiled. And we are seeing an intensification of all these things. And the Lord is telling us, my coming is very near. The world will end soon. At any moment, it can be at any time, it may even be today. We better be ready. And in this book, commenting on this verse in Revelation, let me just read to you what he says here. Our pastor, our late founding pastor, called this the final E-bomb. E-bomb. E meaning what? Earthquake, right? Earthquake bomb at the end, when God will judge this earth. Says here, in this book of his, he says, as six plagues from six vials are still resisted by wicked men, God has to press the final button of punishment. This triggers the E-bomb, an earthquake that brings down not only the great city, which is Jerusalem, splitting it in three parts, but also the cities, surely the capital cities of the nations. From the west to the east, all the superficially glittering cities, but filled inside with the filth of homosexuality, drugs, murders, fornication, abortion, cheating, etc., etc., like Sodom and Gomorrah, are brought down by God's e-power in heaps. A look around ASEAN will see Bangkok, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur all flattened. Beware, ugly Singaporeans also. We will not be spared either. The city of Singapore becoming more and more a city of sin. And the two temples of materialism and money-theism, the two casinos, one in Sentosa, the other one in Marina Bay, will not help the situation at all. It will make it worse for us. How so many lives will be destroyed. Yes, all these casinos will bring in money into the country, but equally, if not more so, it will destroy many lives, many families, and how it will bring in all kinds of immorality and wickedness and evil into our city. And we must be warned, dear friends. So when such things happen, how should Christians respond? How should the church respond? When all these things happen, it will happen. The Lord had predicted and prophesied all these things already 2,000 years ago. They must happen. The world is not going to get better. The world is going to get from bad to worse. But the church in this world, the church in this city, must become more and more holy. When the world becomes more and more sinful, we must become more and more holy. Because when people's lives are destroyed, when they are being deceived by the devil, when they are overwhelmed by their sin, and when they come to the end of their life, it is only the church, it is only the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church which has the light of His truth that can help these people. And that's why the church cannot be like the world. The church must be unlike the world. We are the salt and the light of the earth, Jesus tells us. So we must become saltier and saltier. We must become brighter and brighter. In the gospel salt, in the light of His truth, so that people looking for answers, people looking for solutions, people wanting to be helped and to be delivered from their sin and from Satan and from the world can come into the church and find shelter, find refuge, and find help. That is what we must be. There is a purpose for us to be here. So when the world becomes more and more sinful, the church must become more and more holy so that we can be a shelter and a refuge and a place where people can find help, where sinners can find salvation. When sinners can hear the gospel and make peace with God and get right with God and be delivered from the bondage of their sin, and be forgiven of all their sins, getting right with God. That's what we must be. Are we or not? Are we fulfilling our purpose on earth? Is true life doing this? We call ourselves true life. Do we really present the light of God's truth, that people may find life, eternal life, even abundant life, now and forevermore? I pray we are such a church. I pray we are such a people. And in order to do this, we cannot compromise on the truth. We cannot compromise on the faith. We cannot compromise in our doctrine, that it is only Jesus that saves and no one else. For it is only Jesus who had died for our sins on the cross according to His word, according to Scriptures. The only one who has been raised from the dead. He is our living Savior. He is the life giver. And the people of the world can only find salvation in Him and through Him. The way, the truth, and the life. We must get this message out and across very clearly. In a dark and sinful world, the church must be full of light and full of truth and full of love, that people may know the light, understand the light of God's truth, and experience the love of Christ in our midst. And then they will be drawn. They will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our Savior. We must do this. That's our purpose. And the earthquakes that we see today that bring so much destruction is also God's message to us. God's message to us. To tell us, look, I have a purpose for you to be here on this earth. You are my witnesses, you see. You are my witnesses. So bear witness to the light of the truth, the gospel truth, and bear witness to the saving grace of my love, that you are utterly truthful people and loving people, that people might see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is and what he is, and that he's the only one, the only God and only Savior of this world, and they can only escape from their sin and from the world and from the judgment to come by believing on him, by trusting in him. The just should not live by sight, but by faith, and by faith alone. If not, the judgment at the end will be very, very terrible, very terrifying. Revelation 16, 20-21 tells us, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, and every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and the plague thereof was exceeding great. And Reverend Till commented on how this can happen. And he said this, In the super earthquakes, blocks of masonry can be easily thrown skywards. For them to fall on men scattered in the open, blocks of masonry from skyscrapers crashing and splashing downwards are even worse. Volcanoes can erupt, sending sheets of lava to crash on fleeing men. Yes, on the last days that will happen. No one can run away. Water came crashing down on the earth the first time. In the future, rocks will fall from the sky. All because of this great earthquake that will come about and will rain upon the wicked men at that time. The Lord will judge men one day. We better confess our sins, repent, and get ourselves right with the thrice holy God, or else the wrath of God will come upon us. As Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So please, don't play the fool with God. Although God is very patient and long-suffering towards us, this doesn't mean that we take God lightly and then live the way we want, and then at the final moment we believe to escape. We never can tell when destruction will come. Those people who died in all these earthquakes, they never knew the earthquake was coming. Today they may be full of life. The next moment, the next day, they are no more. This is God's warning to us as well. But when all these earthquakes happen and people lose their lives, are killed in these earthquakes, do we quickly pass judgment? Oh, these people must be really very sinful people, and the city must be so wicked. That's why God judged all these cities with earthquakes. They are such terrible sinners, and they deserve such punishment. And we say these with a self-righteous and holier-than-thou spirit. We shouldn't talk like this. And Jesus himself warned all those who would talk like this. Jesus has a word for all of us who might think like this, for those who perish in earthquakes. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 2-5, Jesus said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You deserve the same condemnation and same judgment, and God spared you. But don't think because God spared you now, therefore you are better, you're holier, than them. You don't deserve this. All of us deserve such a destruction. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Have you repented of your sins? Have you made peace with God? Are you a child of God? Are you born again? If we are a child of God, we are born again, then we have been delivered from the wrath and the judgment to come. God has a good plan for our life. If not, then it is a terrible, terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Please, let us examine ourselves. Make sure we belong to God's family. Make sure our sins are forgiven. Make sure God is not angry with us. And God is happy with us because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven and we are walking in His will and His way according to His word. Will we not do that? The warning must be sounded again and again. Let us make sure of this. So such catastrophes should cause us to wake up to our sins and cause us to examine ourselves. Unless we repent, our turn will come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, it sobers our heart to know that Thou art a judge and that You will judge the world for all the sins that have been committed, the hatred for You and rebellion against Thee, the breaking of Thy commandments. O Lord, help us. Help us to examine ourselves as well. That we, O Lord, will not fall under judgment. And we know that You have made a way of escape, a way out for us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the ark that will carry us to safety, just like the ark Noah built that carried him and his family and all the animals to safety. We need the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from the judgment to come. The rocks that Thou would rain upon the earth to destroy all the wicked and the evil. So Lord, keep us safe. For those of us who belong to Thee, we have this great comfort and assurance that once Jesus has saved us, He will save us to the uttermost. He is our ark. He is our refuge and our shelter, our fortress. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that in this world nothing happens by chance. And You know each one of Thy children, and You will bring us all safe home. None will be lost, because Thou art powerful and Thou art faithful to keep Thy promises. So we thank Thee. Help us, Lord. In this world that is getting more and more sinful, we will become more and more holy. The church will be a place where people can find refuge and shelter, because the truth is being preached and taught and the love of Christ is being manifested. Let people will come in and hear and know, understand and experience the love of Christ that will give eternal life. So help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.